Welcome to Extremely Interesting Interviews with Ordinary People, the podcast that uncovers extraordinary stories from the lives of everyday individuals. We invite you to join us on a captivating journey. In every episode, we delve deep into the personal journeys of our guests, exploring the challenges they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the triumphs they've celebrated. Their stories will touch your heart, broaden your perspective, and remind you of the incredible resilience, creativity, and courage that lies within us all.
Oh, yeah. So we've been talking about all the guard stuff and all that. So let's talk about something much lighter hearted. Like, how about the time when... So, and I know some of your history, so this gives me an advantage here. But you stepped on something once.
Yeah.
You were on, I guess you were on, were you on leave or you just weekend or what?
So, I was a ceremony guard for 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
And not that I was trying to avoid it, but I did, had a 4 or 5 year contract, I can't remember it right now, but I had 2.5 at the ceremonial guard. So what duty station am I going to go to fulfill my contract? I don't know.
I'm going to pick something cool.
So they had a thing at the time called IA, which is Individual Augmentee, or GSA, which I can't remember what that one is exactly. Mm-hmm. But what it is basically we filled jobs for the Army overseas.
Oh, okay. Like
Kuwait, Afghanistan, Iraq, Djibouti, which is in Africa. Just basically all those 4 deployed areas.
Mm-hmm.
We had Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, everybody was over there, right?
Right.
So I opted for that because if not, I had to go to a ship. And all my buddies that already left and told me about the ship life, I was like, that is, I'm not Popeye, dude. Like, that doesn't sound like the life for me. But I ended up going to Djibouti. I spent 11 months there. It also sucked in its own way, but it was great at the same time. Camaraderie, friendship, all the mm-hmm. things, weird places, you know, like,
yeah,
nuts. It's, would I go back? Nah, I'm good. Africa's fine on the other side. Man, I'm good over here in America. But after I did that stint there, like, you know me personally, and like, I'm not an East Coast person. I'm more of a West Coast person. Mm-hmm. So when I saw my options were like Jacksonville, Florida, Norfolk, Virginia, or San Diego, I was like, right.
San Diego looks pretty good.
Yeah. So obviously I tried to fill every billet that I could with the San Diego one, because what you do is you have like a wish list kind of thing and you put like your top 5 or 6. Again, I can't remember exactly like duty stations you want to go to. So if you're smart, you'll pick all the places, at least in the same like regional area. So
right.
You don't have to stay on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But
nothing against the East Coast. I mean, East Coast is wonderful because I spent all my time there.
It is. It's got its own mm-hmm. good and bad things, just like the other side. But I mean, everything's got its pros and cons. But anyway, I did my time over there, Djibouti, Africa, 11 months, and then came back to San Diego and met my ship because I re-upped. They got me. I made E5 in Africa.
And you re-upped.
Yeah. Well, dude, I was in Africa, and it was tax-free pay and imminent duty pay. Like, I was like, this is a lie,
you're
dude.
Banking. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was, but, you know.
Yeah.
Those casinos in Africa.
They put it on you.
They'll get you.
That's so funny.
I went over there. I met my ship. I go to my ship as an E5 mm-hmm. gunner's mate with no NEC. And an NEC is basically, what school did you go to? What are you qualified for? And I'm like,
zero.
Good conversation, man. What else do you want? So literally my whole
life, a lot of marching.
My whole life in the military was essentially on the job training, with the exception of the schools I went to after I got to the boat. So I get to the boat and they're like, okay, you're in charge of the armory. And I'm like, oh, I can't be bad. I get to play with guns all day. You know, that's fine with me.
Where could go wrong?
Until I realize I get in there and I'm responsible for every single bullet on that boat. And if I lose one, I'm going down.
So does that include ordnance in the big guns?
Everything.
So not just your 9 mils and not just your 5.56, but
your 50 cal, your 7.62, your 105 millimeter for the 5-inch cannon on the front, the torpedoes, their torpedo tubes, all the force protection gear that you have to pull
out.
Oh,
that's right. Did you go to a sub?
We have torpedoes topside.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
The rule of thumb was if you see me running up topside to like train out the torpedo tubes, because you have to do it manually, if you see mm-hmm. me running up topside to do that, just jump off. like, we're screwed.
Like, oh, really?
If we're using torpedoes, like, this is game over, man.
Oh, my God.
Our boat has 96 missile cells, so you could have 96 Tomahawk missiles on there if you wanted to.
Oh, my God.
So if you see my goofy butt running up the stairs, just jump.
Yeah.
You're better off.
Game's over.
But, yeah, like, when I got there, the ship, I met them. They had just got back from a deployment not too long. They pull into port. We're doing our thing. You know, ship life's a whole different beast, but
right.
Basically, like, you don't only go out to sea whenever you go on deployment. You could do, like, workups. So you go out to sea for a week, 2 weeks, a month, two mm-hmm. days, a day, whatever. So it gets you kind of qualified, the ship ready to go. Well, we did all that. I met the boat in November of 2010, and San Diego, it's a good fit. Fit my personality,
mm-hmm.
lifestyle, that kind of thing. And I thought I was going to probably hang out there. Well, 2011, it was June or July of 2011 went on deployment. My first one on a boat. Only one on a boat. We go out to sea. We head out. You know, family came, wave bye-bye, all the things, you know.
Yeah.
And
just like you see in the movies.
Yeah. So everything's sad until you realize when you're pulling away, you're like, all right, I'm going to go change out of these pretty uniforms and go put on coveralls and get to work. But we're out to sea. We leave San Diego. We go off the coast of Hawaii, and we do anti-submarine ops for like a week or 2 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're following our carrier strike group because you don't just go by yourself most of the time. You are with a strike group. The carrier has an admiral on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the boss. After right. that, I think like frigates or cruisers have like a captain, like a full bird on there, which is 05. I don't give me a line. I've already mm-hmm. forgot. But basically the ships have a ranking structure as well.
Right.
So we followed the carrier around. Literally part of my duty was to sit there with the camera on the 5-inch gun's FLIR, the infrared. And I would sit there and watch jets land, take off, land, take off. And that was my extra duty on top of my normal job. So if I worked 8 to 5 and I'd watch from, let's just say 5 to 10, then I don't go to bed till 10 or after 10 after I take a shower. Right?
So was this daily?
Yeah. Like maybe like the watch rotation shifted, right? But like,
yeah,
but like you did work and then you had watch. Like it's just how it works.
Really?
You could have watched. So
I shouldn't gripe being where I was because you only pulled CQ duty like once, you know, every 3 or 4 months or something like that.
Dude.
Now, CQ duty sucked, but... Well,
the thing with the ship is they have duty sections. So mm-hmm. imagine, say there's 100 people in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have 10 duty sections? Well, there's 10 people in each duty section. That's not accurate by any means.
Okay.
But basically, what the duty section is meant to do is...
That would be divulging military secrets and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, OPSEC. It's fine. But, like, duty section... is essentially if something were to happen, that duty section should be able to get that boat underway,
mm-hmm.
out of port, wherever it needs to go.
Right.
Well, when you're in port stateside, you have 6-section duty. When you're outside on deployment, you have 3-section duty. So every third day you have to like stand watch, do something, whatever. Right.
Right.
And that's if you're in port. Well, anyway, we're doing the anti-sub stuff off the coast of Hawaii. And then we leave there with the carrier group. We pull into Manila, the Philippines. So Manila, you don't pull into a port there. You pull into like this bay thing and they send mm-hmm. what they call Liberty boats out. And
the
Liberty
okay.
boat is basically yeah. a ferry, right? Well, the seas were too bad the first day we pulled in for Liberty boats to get us. And mind you, you can see like the women of ill repute literally standing on the pier like, hey, like they know our ship schedule before we know our ship schedule, right?
For real.
They would fly people in. It was insane. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. It's just crazy how people know more than yeah. you and they're not even... part of you, you know, part of the organization. But we left Manila that first day, came back in with a carrier group again, same mm-hmm. thing. The seas are too rough, even in that little bay for the Liberty boats. So we had independent steaming, which means we could roll out by ourselves. And we're on a destroyer, not a big ship
mm-hmm.
by any means. Like compared to a carrier, we could fit in a hangar bay of an aircraft carrier. Our crew is 300. It's not big.
Right.
So we just started doing independent steaming, and our next port of call was Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
If you asked me where Singapore was before we pulled in, I would not have been able to tell you. Right. No idea. I think I'd had a Singapore sling drink or something like that. I don't know what it's called. So we pull into port.
I know it's a place.
The first day I had duty. right? So mm-hmm. my duty was topside rover. Yes, I was in armory. The armory is my spot. But like, if they gave me something else, I was like, cool. I don't have to wake up every 4 or 5 hours and get people guns. I'm totally fine with that, right? I get to sleep.
Yeah.
So I remember like looking over the side of the ship, seeing like barracuda. And I'm like, oh man, this is crazy. In Southeast Asia, it's all tropical. This is great. Mm-hmm. So first day at duty, did my job. The second day, I was free. Right. So my battle buddy, you have to have battle buddy wherever you go. You know how that goes, especially right. when you're overseas. You can't go anywhere by yourself. My battle buddy on the boat was also my buddy and my roommate back home. Terrible idea. Like, terrible. It's probably good that, like, I got hurt so quick. But, like, we go.
But you know what? You think about those relationships that you develop with your, you called it battle buddy or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, we just call them buddies. But, I mean, dude, I mean, you talk about somebody having your back.
Lifelong, dude.
I mean,
lifelong.
It's crazy, you know, because you could call him up today and go, dude, I'm in jail. I need bail money. You know,
I have no doubt he would come get me. He would be mad and talk more crap. Oh, yeah, than absolutely. Anybody else, but he would come and get me.
But he would be there.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And then like, there's a lot of people that I could call that I don't see and haven't seen in a decade that I feel like would do the same thing because I would do it for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's and weird. I get that, you know. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sorry, I digress.
And no, you're good. I get sidetracked real easily, clearly. So the second day, we go out. We've been out to sea for almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
What do sailors do when they pull into port?
Oh, yeah.
Get hammered drunk, right?
So, no. All the sailors that I've ever known, so we had Marines attached with us, which that's not the same thing.
No.
that's a creature. That's a different beast. But we had Marines attached to they called them, it was called a fist team. But anyway, you know, they, different creatures for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what you do, you know, you get hammered.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
So, that's what we did. We went out, and in Singapore, there is a very well-known spot. And I will call it by its proper name. And I implore you to look it up because it's very interesting. It's called the Orchards.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a club. It's Orchard Towers mm-hmm. in Singapore. And it's 4 separate floors.
Yeah.
So a lot of people knew it as 4 floors. So, you know, just look it up. That's all I'll say. So we went there, got hammered, went back to our hotel, passed out, woke up, hungover, right? And that's the... This is day 3. So we're still off work. We have duty again the next day, but we're still free that day.
Right.
So we wake up and I don't know if a lot of people have been to Singapore that, you know, will listen to this, but Singapore's not trashy at all.
Oh, really?
It's got its places, but it's
I always assumed that it was.
Mm-mm. Is a melting pot of cultures and it's like just as advanced as the rest of the world.
Oh, wow.
But it has its places also. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's anywhere, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that was like 2011, and Iron Man had, one of the Iron Man movies just came out, and he's just driving that brand new Audi and Iron Man, and we get to Singapore, and somebody's driving the Audi, and I was like, what is this? That's crazy. But anyway, we wake up, and I was just giving you context for that. Wake up, and my friend's like, what do you want to do? I was like, dude, I want to go to Wendy's. I found a Wendy's. He's like, all right, cool. So we go to Wendy's. We eat.
Wendy's in Singapore.
We take a cab over to this island, right? It's attached and it's not small. Island makes you think of like a little bitty blip. It's bigger, mm-hmm. but it's called Sentosa Island. There's a water park over there. There's a wave house. Like I'm telling you,
it's cool.
Yeah. Super cool. And it's like, you're out there and everybody's just chilling. There's a lot of like expats out there. There's a lot of people just traveling out there. Well, my buddy and I were like, all right, we're going to go over here. We'll hang out for a while. We'll just chill, kind of start the day off. So we get there. We weren't there for 2 seconds before we're like, all right, let's get in the water. Well, at that time, I smoked cigarettes and I was like, dude, I'm going to wade over to that island because there was smaller islands off of the bigger island. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to wade over to that island, smoke cigarettes and play on my iPad. And he's like, let's go to that island a little further. And I was like, all right, hungover, hot, you want to chill. Right. So we leave our backpacks on like the main beach and we swim over to this little island
mm-hmm.
where we're like, side by side or whatever. I can't remember who got up first, but I stood up. And as soon as I stood up, I put my right foot down and I yanked it back up. And I was like, oh, I just stepped on something. And it was like a very sharp pain, like a puncture, right? Like
right.
Like a fish hook, right? Mm-hmm. Very just bam, real quick.
Yeah, you know you've been stuck.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, man, what was that? And, like, I'm telling you, within, like, 10 seconds, I was like, something's wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, like.
So you didn't go, oh, maybe I stepped on something I shouldn't have. You immediately knew?
10 seconds, I'm telling you, man.
Oh, my God.
It was like, oh.
Well, I took the liberty of reading up a little bit about what you're talking about. And the swelling and the expansion of the site is like, it's like almost instantaneous. And like within 2 hours, a whole leg.
Dude.
So go ahead. I interrupted.
Oh, you're totally fine. So like I step on something. I'm like, I'm like, we hadn't drank or anything. Yeah, I'm hungover, but like I'm right. Fully aware, fully conscious.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's not right. So I'm standing there. I was like, okay, they have fire coral? Because that's literally the only thing that I knew that could hurt.
What is fire coral?
I don't know, some red coral apparently hurts or something when it touches touch you or whatever. That's literally the only thing I knew of, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's some fire coral? What's going on? And I'm sitting there, and I sit down on the beach, and I was like, this is getting worse. And like, I'm the youngest out of three boys that grew up slightly out in the country mm-hmm. and like had to entertain ourselves. So I've been in the hospital a lot myself, a lot. And like, I'm by no means like the strongest man in the entire world, but I have a pretty like high pain threshold.
Right.
But at this point, like that line was crossed like that.
Oh, wow.
So like, I knew something was wrong.
So this is like scorpion sting.
Don't know. Hope to never find out.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, scorpion sting. So imagine a yellow jacket. You've been stuck by a yellow jacket?
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine a yellow jacket, a bumblebee. You've been stuck by a bumblebee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So yellow jacket, bumblebee, and scorpion. So this is beyond that.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing I can equate to this, like at all.
Oh, my God.
Like they say, it's worse.
Scorpion is the worst.
They say it's worse than childbirth. I'll never say that to a woman directly to their face that's had a kid. Right. Right. But I mean, like, I'll believe you.
I stepped on a scorpion when I was a kid. Only once is if I ever stepped on a scorpion. My whole leg, my right leg swelled up. My testicle swelled up. I mean, it was horrible. And the most god-awful pain. It felt like I had stepped on a coal of fire and didn't take my foot off. Mm. So, go ahead. I mean,
so, I remember sitting down on the beach, looking at my foot. I look at the bottom of my foot. And basically, if you're looking at your foot from the toes to your heel, there was little blood dots from my toe to my heel.
And I was like, in a line? Yeah, or straight like line. So spine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know what this is, but this isn't right. I look up, the lifeguard that's there sees me and is waiting for me to come back. And now I'm like on this small little island hobbling around, like not in full panic mode because I'm still pretty like, I try to be pretty like calm during situations because I like personal experience, like it doesn't make it better if you freak out.
Right.
So, obviously. But I'm like not doing great and lifeguard could tell. So I'm hobbling around the beach and like, he's telling me to come back and my buddy's with me. I'm like, dude, we got to go back. I'm like, something's wrong. We got to go. So he's like,
I've read, it's not cool.
So what does my buddy do? Mouths off the whole time, just running his mouth thinking it's not, dude. I'm just like, so instead of swimming like a normal human being, I'm in so much pain. I just lay back and just backstroke the entire way across. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know is I hear stand up and I open my eyes and I'm on the friggin' beach in the sand, like doing a sand angel kind of thing.
So did they not get a boat for you or?
No, it wasn't that far. Honestly, let's say.
So we're swimming across my backyard.
Nah, I'd say 200 feet. Well, we'll say 50 yards. I don't know 200 feet, but I can do yards because football field, right? Say 50 yards.
Now that's a long way for a soldier. Maybe in the Navy, you guys could handle that, but that'd be a long way for a soldier.
They issue you flippers and a snorkel, man. We're good. So
we only got water wings.
So I get there. I stand up. The lifeguard has a water bottle with a hole poked in the top of it full of vinegar and sprays the bomb on my foot, thinking it might be a jellyfish. And I was like, nah, fam, like you did nothing except get my foot smellier, right? Like nothing. So he's
like,
nah,
I smell like a salad. You know.
So he's like, I'm going to call the lifeguard station to come get you. And I was like, okay. So now these next like portions of it, suck, so they like bring up like suppressed emotions. So forgive me if I like choke up over some of this stuff. But like, I remember they came and picked me up in a golf cart on the beach, and they're driving me in the golf cart. Golf cart on the beach is a terrible idea. It's stuck in the sand.
Right.
I'm hurting so bad. I get my butt out of that golf cart and start rocking it and pushing it on the sand. I'm like,
we got stuck.
I was like, we got to go.
You got stuck?
Yes.
I'm like, no.
We have got to go.
No.
Something is wrong. So I'm sitting there rocking this golf cart. We get it out and we get to the lifeguard station and they put me on a gurney in there. And I'm like, right. All these people speak English, broken English, but English is like the most common language, right? For like most of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there and they're like, I don't know what was going on. I couldn't tell you. I know the setting. I remember things happening, but I don't know what was said. But I remember looking over and seeing an aquarium, and they're like, we think you stepped on that. I'm like, what is that? And like, it's a stonefish. I was like, what the hell's a stonefish? I'm from Texas.
Okay, so tell everybody that's going to be listening to this at some point what a stonefish is. Because I looked up stonefish. Stonefish is not cool. not cool to step on.
It is not to be confused with a rockfish. Completely different type of fish. Stonefish are not aggressive. They're strictly have defensive measures.
Mm-hmm.
On their back, they have 13 barbs that are sharp as like a hypodermic needle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the base of each one of those is a venom gland that contains what I think I've been told is a neurotoxin.
It is neurotoxin.
So I stepped square on one of these fish that's like smaller than my fist. Right? So
what are the odds? You're out in the middle of a freaking ocean. You're on the beach on an island and you step on something that's the size of your fist.
I would say that's just my luck.
Damn, dude.
So we get in our lifeguard station. Well, I remember telling my buddy, I was like, bro, our backpacks are on the beach. You have to go get our backpacks. Cause like all of our stuff is in there.
Right.
All of our identifying stuff. All of
ID, wallet, and military ID. If you've ever been in the military, you know the significance of your military ID.
I don't think I want to lose that in Singapore.
Oh my God. I wouldn't want to lose that anywhere.
So he's like, all right. And runs back to go get it. And in the meantime, they're loading me up in an ambulance. I'm like, you're not leaving until he gets back. So he gets back, we get in the ambulance, and like Singapore is a very interesting country. I don't know, like it depends how old you are. If you remember, I faintly remember that some American was over in Singapore, did something, and his punishment was getting caned.
Oh yeah, that was when I was young when that happened.
I faintly remember it being on the news.
Yeah, right? And this kid was over there. It was a kid, it was like a teenager. And he's over there partying or raising hell or whatever he was doing. But they caned him.
Yeah. Freaking caned him.
They don't play.
In the 20th century, they caned somebody.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mind you, it's not that brutal over there, I hope. But it's a very clean country. You don't spit outside. You don't smoke cigarettes outside designated areas. For the love of God, I couldn't imagine if like one of these East Texas guys went over there with a big dip in his mouth and spit on the ground, right? Like, it is clean. You don't curse. I mean, people curse, obviously, but it's not something you do publicly. Well, the ambulance is taking me, and we have a police escort with two motorcycle cops in front of this ambulance. Sirens going. Oh, my God. Cop
they were for real.
Going. I'm in the back of this ambulance screaming, like there's a male nurse and a female nurse.
Are you screaming because you're freaking out you're in pain?
No. There were times I did freak out, but for the majority of the story, like if I'm like yelling or screaming, it is from pain.
Oh my God.
So we're in the ambulance. There's a male nurse and a female nurse, and I am doing as any good sailor would do and cursing up a storm, and I'm losing it. And like,
I've never known sailors.
I keep looking at this female nurse and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I kept apologizing over and over. Sorry. She's like, no, you're fine. You're fine. Right. And I was like, do you have anything for pain? I was like, it is so bad. She's like, all we have is this nitrous oxide. I was like, give it to me. They gave me that mask. Dude, I grabbed that mask. I shoved that thing so fast in my face.
I'd have been sucking on that sugar.
My buddy's looking at me and I was like, I don't care, dude. Like, you could have given me like battery acid. I wouldn't have cared.
So I'm going to interrupt you for a second. my dad, when I was a kid, I found out about my dad and about what he went through as a kid. He was 17 years old. He got run over by a train. It basically ran over his leg. And so when you talk about pain, anybody that's never been through intense pain may not understand. He was laying there with the train had stopped on top of his leg. He was on a motorcycle. He slid off the back, and a train coupled on the gas tank on the motorcycle.
Holy cow.
It threw his buddy Mesquite across the road. It threw my dad over the end of the last car. They were coupling, you know, these cars together. This was in South Dallas. And so the train rolled and stopped on top of his leg. So his buddy Mesquite runs over and tries to pull him out from underneath the train. And he's not going anywhere. And my, then of course, you know, when the cops finally show up, and he's laying there and he's begging this cop to shoot him, to hit him in the head with a, with his billy club and knock him out, something, because of the pain. So if anybody that's never been through any kind of intense pain, you know, my parachute collapsed at 70 foot. I understand intense pain.
Yeah, that's a good one. You, that's a good right? story.
You got me beat, though, with the rockfish.
I don't know, man.
Stonefish. And, I mean, yeah, I was looking at the bottom of my foot, which is really weird when you're laying on your side and you can't breathe, you know, because you've fallen all this way with no parachute. And you look over and you, oh my God, I got to call for a medic. And you look over and you're staring at the bottom of your foot and it's not pointing the right way.
Mm. What's crazy is how delayed your brain is to recognize that pain too.
Oh my God. So when you talk about, and supposedly that's one of the most painful wounds that you can experience is that, that stonefish that you stepped on.
I'm not going to try to find out if something hurts worse. There's no way.
No, well, it's some kind of scorpii. It has a long name. Scorpiidae or something like that type of fish. So I assume it's something like a scorpion. And there's nothing that hurts like that I've ever experienced.
This is a different world, man. So I'm in the back of an ambulance in Singapore with a police escort doing whippets.
Right.
Essentially, that's what it is, right? Like
I haven't heard that term since the 80s.
Dude, I feel like, I'm sure I didn't, but I feel like I drained half that bottle, right? Like hyperventilating myself in the back of ambulance. But we get to the hospital and the only footage that we have, because mind you, again, this is, you know, 2011, you know, iPhones are out, but it still wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
My buddy has a video of me being wheeled in the hospital on a gurney with a blanket in my face, and I'm just like writhing in pain. So we get there. They essentially admit me, and like any good man of the military, I don't call the boat. I don't want anybody to know.
Oh, no.
I want to get in and out and back on the boat and That's not right. say a word to anybody.
Because you know you're going to be deep doo-doo.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you know, they scare you so much, like, you're done, right? So
yeah.
I get there.
Been there.
My buddy and I are in there. They leave him out in the waiting room. They wheel me into, like, the ER where they put me on a gurney up against the wall and proceed to leave me. I'm not sure what their thought process was behind that, but, like, 4 or 5 hours later.
So your buddy's left.
No, my buddy's with me. He's still in the he's in the waiting room.
I thought I misunderstood. I thought he left.
No, he was in the waiting room. So I was in like on a gurney against the wall.
Good
in the
for
ER.
Him.
Yeah, he better not left.
My boy.
So I remember three occasions total, but two separate occasions. There's people just walking by me, and I'm not one to like cry out in pain like consistently. Like my hip pops, that hurts for whatever reason, so I do that. Mm-hmm. Stub your pinky toe on a bench or whatever. Right. Come on, man, everybody.
You earned it.
But I'm telling you, I was not crying, but I was begging for mercy.
Dude,
a doctor walks by, I grab that dude and I was like, you have to give me something. Like, you have to do something. So he gives me a cc of morphine, does nothing.
Why did they? Okay, so I'm confused. why would you withhold pain medication for something obviously is like one of the most painful things in the world?
You got me. Maybe they thought I was big enough to like my body like fight back or something, because I was drastically bigger than majority of the people in that country.
I'm sure, right? But just because you're big doesn't mean your pain tolerance is higher. You're not gargantuan.
I still feel, Mike. I do.
You know, right?
But
I'm a big old boy. You and I are both big boys. But
that first doc walks by, he gives me a CC morphine. Like I said, does nothing, and I'm like, dude. Like, that did not live up to the hype.
You got up the ante.
So he stabbed me and rolled out. A few minutes later, I don't know how long it was, honestly. My time lapse is pretty bad from that moment. But I grab another doc. I'm like, dude, you got to help me. I already got one CC. It didn't do anything. Help me. That's two CCs of morphine with no effect on pain management. And at that point, I'm like, I'm screwed. So
what do they do? I mean, how do you let somebody sit there and suffer like that?
I don't know. I really don't. Because I was completely conscious the whole time. I never blacked out. I never did anything. I was completely awake, like aware the entire time. Can imagine. So a third doctor comes by, and I'm like, doctor, I need help. And I'm saying this not like I said it when I was in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right. He looked at my chart, saw everything he'd done. He's like, I'm going to do a local block on your foot. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying to me right now.
But yeah.
I was like, do whatever you need to do. And
oh, bless your heart.
So people that don't know, a local block is what they'll do is they'll get like a local anesthetic, like lidocaine or something like that. And what they'll
do is nerve.
Yeah, they'll inject into the nerve bundle, then it basically cuts off all feeling to the area associated with that nerve bundle. So me, that was my foot. As soon as he did that block, boom, I was out. Just pure exhaustion, right?
Oh man, I bet.
So I was asleep maybe 10 minutes and I wake back up. And I'm just like, good God, okay, relief, whatever. So then they wheel me into the ortho doc's office. I'm in there.
Ortho?
Mm-hmm. I'm in there, and he's like, what happened? And I told him, and he's like, you're going to have surgery. And I was like, can you go get my friend? This part's funny. He's like, he comes in, and he looks at me. I'm like, you got to call the boat, dude. they say I have to have surgery.
No, you got the boat.
You have to have surgery, bro. You got to call the boat. And he's like, ugh. Because we both have the same mentality. Let's get in. Let's get out. Not say a word.
Right.
Or is a bill collector going to come from Singapore? Like, nah, fool. I'm just going to get out of there. But he called the boat. My chief, like my chain of command all showed up. And they're just like looking at me with like their eyes just like big as they could be. And like you would have thought they were talking like their own kid or whatever at that point.
Oh,
you know,
that's cool though. But when you have an officer show up for his guy, they truly are like his kids.
Hmm?
If he's a good officer.
Yeah.
And for him to show up and go, and you could see it in their eyes. Like when I'm staring at the boot of my jump boot, actually it was just regular boot, but because you don't wear jump in your jump boots, but you're staring at your boot, at the bottom of your boot after a jump, and your officer shows up, you know, whether it be your LT or your commanding officer, your first shirt, whatever, you know, and they show up and they look at you and you can see that pain in their eyes because they know you're in pain. And there's something about that. There really is.
No, I don't disagree with you. Like my weapons officer, dude, such a good guy, former enlisted, you know, Mustang, he was there. My chief was a first class with me. I was still second class, but he was like a first class with me in my weapons department. Made chief became my LPO or my LCPO, my leading chief petty officer. And he's just like, dude. So, like I'm in there and then the doc's like, you have to have surgery. I'm like, all right. So I've had surgery a few times in my life. This is by far the smoothest one I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Cool. I get wheeled in there. Everyone is so nice. The anesthesiologist is this guy. He was from, I can't remember what part of India he was from, but he was from India. And he looks at me and he's like, how old are you? How tall are you? How much do you weigh? I was like,
what the hell is that going to do with my foot?
I was like, all right. And then he gets the medication together and they sedate me and I'm out. And next thing I know, I wake up just like I took a nap. And I was like, okay, that dude can like sedate me whenever he needs to. That was awesome.
Right.
Go to America, dude. Help us out. Because, I mean, I woke up out of sedation before and been just like, right?
I've never had a bad experience from sedation, but yeah, I know a lot of people who have.
But yeah, I woke up, my foot, man, is gnarly. I have a bunch of photos. Thankfully, I took a lot of pictures, but like my foot basically had gotten swollen to the point where it couldn't swell anymore, and all the capillaries on the surface had ruptured, and the swelling started going up my leg. The first day, the swelling was below my knee. They marked it with a Sharpie. They dated it. The next day, it was right below my kneecap. Oh, I have pictures of this too. I'll show you later, Mike. Mm-hmm. And they said, if it goes above your knee by tomorrow, we're going to have to amputate your leg. I looked at that doctor who was like 4 foot nothing, and I go, leave. I was like, I have nothing for you here. I was like, go do whatever you need to do, right? Like,
oh my
get out
God.
Of here. What help am I going to do right now?
So, well, you know, I when I was reading about this, because, you know, it's all new to me, and I was reading about it, and there's like, oh yeah, it can, you know, it can encompass your whole leg in just a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I never, like, have you ever seen Nutty Professor, the first one with Eddie Murphy? It may have been a long time.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
So if people haven't seen that movie, there's a scene where he's like the skinny guy, cool guy, and then he's in a Dodge Viper, and he converts over to the fat man again. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a scene where his foot explodes out of his shoe, and it's just huge, and like hits the gas pedal. That's what I felt my foot look like. It was just so big.
Wow.
And then like after that, talked to that doc, and I was like, just go do whatever you have to do, doc. He came back. They put me on 3 antibiotics for 24-hour drip. Just rotated them out every 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes, middle of the night, I get woken up. Just drop it out. I didn't care. Do whatever you got to do. Swelling stopped. Started going back down. So I didn't lose my leg. And I didn't die.
Yeah.
So that's a win so far, right?
Right.
But this is essentially the first port. Like, what happens now?
Yeah.
Well, the ship's not going to wait for you, right?
Yeah, ship's going.
Yeah, so the ship...
So they left you there.
Mm-hmm. They left me with an escort, which was a guy that was short-timing. Uh-huh. And he was a dirt ball. Of course. So you would think that I would...
Because all short-timers are dirt balls.
You think that I would get some help? Nah, the homie may have carried my bag for me once, but other than that, I was on my own.
He didn't carry your bag for you?
No.
What a POS.
Thankfully, when we got to the airport, they put me in a wheelchair. But man, there's so many memories that I have. Like, I forget and I recall. Like, it was like 2 weeks ago. I had forgotten like this thing about like what happened, and I really need to like write down what happened, like my own little memoirs or whatever, you know. But I remember like looking down at my foot, and I don't remember if this was before, or after, or when, but I had 2 streaks going up from the end, like the arch of my foot on the interior side going up, that were black on the inside and lime green on the outside.
Imagine
it was like that, and then on the border of it was all lime green. And I completely forgot about that until the other day. And I was like, oh my God, right? I'm not suppressing it. I just hadn't talked about it and forgot about
it. It's funny the things that you remember when you go through stuff like that. Because I can remember, like, so I talk about the time when my parachute collapsed and looking at the bottom of my foot. Well, that was just a dislocation is all it was.
That's all it was. Yeah, no big deal, right? Yeah, no. You ever tickled your own foot looking at the bottom of your foot?
Yeah, so the bottom of my foot was like right here. It's so weird, man. But I was looking at the bottom of my foot, and, you know, of course they put me out and put it back in place and all that. But I remember the next, I guess 2 or 3 days later, my whole cheek over here, my cheek and my neck on my left side was purple and green and yellow and, you know, all these bruise colors. And it went from like my cheek all the way down to my toes, man. My little toe, not my big toe, but my little toes. You know, so that was just really strange for me.
Yeah.
Because everything on this side took the brunt of that hit, you know.
Yeah, the human body is insane, man. Like, I'm by no chance, I'm like no different than anybody else you see. I just have had like some weird experiences.
You've had some extremely cool experiences. Cool from my perspective, because I didn't have to go through it.
Yeah.